This is the Soulful BR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 183.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Kathy Wassell. So Kathy is a member of my Soulful PR Studio. So that's my membership community for small business owners who want ongoing help with their PR and promoting their business. But Kathy's only been in business for about a year, less than a year, in fact, but she's built up a fantastic social media management business. So I thought it'd be really great to get Kathy onto the show to talk about when it's a good time to hire a social media manager to support you with your social media, what you might expect to pay for that kind of service, how to find somebody really good, and how also to spot somebody who might not be so good for you and your business. So we talk about all of that and a whole lot more. So if you've been thinking that your social media is getting a little bit overwhelming and you're thinking that you might like to outsource, this is going to be a great episode for you. But Kathy's also got a really great business story. She worked in marketing for many years. So although she's kind of new in social media management, she's certainly not new to marketing and PR, and she's pretty good at PR too. So we talk a bit about her career in this episode. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention an event that I've got coming up in November in London. So this is my Your Year in PR Media Planning Masterclass. So I only run it once a year. And by the way, if you're listening in the future, this is November the 23rd and 24th, 2017. And basically the idea is to get you in a room for the day with loads of other small business owners and basically anybody who's interested in planning out their content for the coming year. So we'll use key dates and awareness days to generate content ideas. So for your blog, your vlog or podcast, if you have one, for your social media, for your email marketing, and even ideas that you can pitch into the press. We'll also look at strategies that you can use to make your content creation easier. So we'll look at things like content stacking, so how you can take one piece of content and turn it into lots of different pieces of content for different platforms and different purposes. We'll look at how to plan content for launches. We'll look at other strategies you can use, like theming your content to make your planning easier. So the idea is that you'll leave the masterclass at the end of the day with pretty much a draft plan for your content for the coming year. Now, that's not to say that you may not want to change things as you go along, but you will have that skeleton plan. Now, based on feedback from last year, I had a few delegates who said that they'd love to get more one-to-one personalized attention. So we've added on a special mastermind session for anybody who'd like to work with me more closely and get me to give them personalized feedback on their plan. So based on the feedback we got last year, we've added a day two, which will help you with content creation. So we'll be helping you with how to create really great blog posts and vlogs, how to write effective sales copy. So for your sales pages, for your email marketing, for things like Facebook ads, also support you with writing better shorts. And by that, I mean better email subject headers, better headlines for your content, that kind of thing. And also how to write articles for the press. Also going to squeeze in a short video marketing workshop on that day as well. So it's going to be really, really practical. But as ever, with all of these things, it's really important to me to get the right people in the room on the day. So if you have got any questions, then just shoot me an email at janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me at jan_murray, or you can find me over on Instagram at janmurrayuk, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you've got about the event. Not interested in getting bums on seats, want to get people who really need to be there and are going to get the best out of the day. It's of no interest to me to have people who come along who the event is not a good fit for, because people like that generally just leave bad feedback. And obviously I want people who come along to have a great day. So do drop me a line if you're interested but not sure, and we'll see what we can do to help you make a decision. And now on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is Kathy Wassell. Now, Kathy is a freelance social media manager and a graduate of the Successful Digital Mums program, which trains mums to be social media managers. Now, in her own words, Kathy spends her time surgically connected to the internet, surfing Facebook and Twitter in her sleep, stopping her dogs from eating the carpet, and encouraging her teens to at least clear a path to be able to get to their beds. Now, Kathy is a member of my Soulful PR Studio, so that's my membership group. And I invited her onto the show because she's built an incredible social media management business, Socially Contented, in less than a year. And I thought that she could basically help out with one of my most frequently asked questions, which is, should I hire a social media manager? So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hi, Jan.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you? Because your business is pretty new, isn't it? And you haven't been doing this for very long. So can you tell us about what you were doing before you became a social media manager?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was actually a social media manager before I started this business. I was just doing it on a freelance basis, just under my own name. But this my company, Socially Contented, has only been around since January. So yes, it's very new.
Wow. Okay. And you were in marketing before that, weren't you?
Yes, I've been in marketing for about 20 years. I worked for a Japanese international retailer in London, not in Japan, as a sales and marketing manager for 19 years before I was made redundant.
Wow. Okay. So that was a kind of opportunity for you to take a different career path.
Yes. I was actually working from home for quite a lot of those years. I moved away from London because my husband got transferred to the Birmingham office, and they said, could I do it from home? So I said yes.
And that was that. So how did you end up getting into social media management then? I mean, I know marketing is quite closely related, but what made you think actually this could be a good way to make a living?
Well, I started doing it for the retailer that I was working for. At that time, when I started doing it, it was all quite new. You know, their Facebook and Twitter hadn't been around very long. And so nobody really knew what they were doing. So I just kind of made it up as I went along, as you do.
Yeah.
And when I stopped, I thought, actually, this is quite interesting. I'd like to carry on with this. So I got some freelance clients of my own, but I was going through agencies like Fiverr and Upwork. And really, you're competing against people who will work literally for pennies.
Mm.
So that was a little bit depressing. So I actually then signed on to the Digital Mums course and did a 6-month training course on social media.
Right. So a few things that you said there were interesting. And the first one was, you said you kind of made it all up to start with. And I think that's really interesting with social media because, for example, I mean, I've been on Twitter for years as a journalist, like all journalists are on Twitter. So I've been on it for a long time. And I'm always really, really surprised when people say, I've not been on Twitter before. Can you give me some training or can you show me how to use Twitter? And for me, I'm just like, well, you just get on there and you just have a play around and you just kind of mess about a bit and you work out what works for you. And it sounds like you've got a kind of similar philosophy.
Well, I think we've had to do that with a lot of things, haven't we, in the last 20, 25 years? I mean, I lived in Japan when I was, it was a long time ago. I lived in Japan for 3 years. And at that time, there was no internet that people actually used. I'm sure the internet had been invented. There were no mobile phones. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was no Skype. I used to have to make an appointment with my parents to call them every Sunday evening because that was the only time we could manage to actually be in because of the time difference. And the calls were hideously expensive. So my life would have been very different if the internet had been around then. But, you know, you, like that, you just kind of, you get on and you make it up, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I read a lot of articles. I listen to lots of podcasts but, you know, basically all the stuff that I've learned about social media, and I guess I probably have learned quite a lot over the years, has been just through trial and error and trying and reading and chatting to other people and picking up tips and taking part in Twitter chats and all of that kind of stuff. So I was also interested to hear that you, even though you've been working as a social media manager and getting paid for doing that, you went and did the Digital Mums training program. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I think I was floundering a little bit, like actually, a lot of people who call themselves social media managers now. I was entirely self-trained. I'd done a lot of reading, I'd done a lot of research, and I'd looked at what other people were doing, but I didn't really have any idea of how to measure metrics and how to do social really well. So I thought, if I'm going to make this an actual career, I need to get some training on it. Digital Mums was really highly recommended, and actually, since then, they've won loads of awards and the two founders have become Red Women of the Year and they're really, really expanding. So, you know, next stop, world domination, I think. Mm.
So that's really interesting that you were saying what you wanted to do was take it beyond that kind of let's make it up and see what works and actually kind of measure.
Exactly.
It. It's really, really important, isn't it, to be able to, I guess, if you're going to invest time on a platform like Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, to be able to see whether you're getting a return on investment. And can you talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you learned in terms of measurement, like tools and analytics?
Yes, I mean, we learned how to really in depth, how to use Facebook and Twitter and obviously the other platforms as well, how to use their own analytics and how to really get down to the nitty gritty of what's working and what isn't. Obviously, Google Analytics as well. And there are other various tools, such as for Instagram, that you can use for analytics. And really, you study all of those.
Mm. And I guess if you're going to be charging higher rates than people are on platforms like Fiverr, which you can get people to do something for next to nothing, then I guess that's what you need, isn't it? You need to be able to say to a client, well, if this is your objective, we can work on achieving this objective, and this is how we're going to measure it to see whether it works or not.
Yeah, and you need an in-depth knowledge across the platforms as well. So when somebody comes to me talking about managing their social media, sometimes they have no idea which channels are the best channels for their business in terms of demographic or frequency of posting or strategy. And so you need to have a knowledge across the board so that you can advise them on that.
Mm, yeah, and I guess so that people feel that they're getting value for money as well. So if they are going to work with you, then you're actually going to be able to kind of, you know, quantify results. But I guess with social media, it can be quite hard to measure results.
Yes, it is hard. It is hard to track the metrics.
What are some of the things that you do to see if things are working?
Well, you obviously look at engagement. Really, you don't look so much at numbers of followers. Numbers of followers is we really see as a vanity metric.
Mm.
But obviously, they do have value. The more followers you have, the more people will see your post. So they do have some value. But really, you're looking at other analytics than the number of followers in order to see what's going on, really.
So it's more about how many people are commenting and sharing. That's really what's important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more about reach. And if you're getting into the realms of Facebook advertising, it's more about actual conversions.
Right. Okay. So that's how many people, it's not just about people clicking on your advert or liking your Facebook page, but it's actually that journey that they then take to buy something from you.
Yes. I mean, Facebook advertising is not necessarily part of a normal maintenance social media manager contract. It really depends on each business, on each contract. But if you are going to be doing that, then obviously you're going to be looking at the whole customer journey.
Yeah. So you've touched on something there about the role of the social media manager. So something that people ask me about an awful lot is like, okay, so I'm pretty busy in my business and I'm juggling lots of different plates and roles. I think one of the things I'd like to offload basically is social media management. But what you've touched on there is that I guess the role is quite complex and different social media managers will offer you different types of services.
Yes, I mean, this is why social media managements have such difficulty putting their prices on their website, which I know is one of the things that you like us to do. But it's because there is such a variety and it's difficult to make a package. And if you do make a package, then often you have to tweak it quite a lot. But what I would say to people is if they are not sure whether they need to hire a social media manager is if you're missing messages on social media because you're too busy, if you're already working too many hours, if you can't commit enough time to social media or you don't have the expertise, or if social media is just kind of an afterthought to you, then you probably need some help.
Right, okay. What about if you just feel kind of, I mean, a lot of people say to me, oh, I just don't know what to post on social media, or I'm just not
sure. Yeah, that too, of course. I mean, it's a big time commitment to do social media in an optimum fashion. It takes at least 5 to 6 hours for every channel per week. So that's, if you've got two channels, then obviously that's 12 hours of your week. That's quite a big commitment.
And I know personally, I'm always nervous about outsourcing social media management. I'm going to share a few reasons why I am.
Okay.
So the first one is because of voice, because I feel like people... Actually, I mean, I've got Jo who works for me and I've got Lucy who helps me a little bit with my social media and she does the podcast show notes. And I think they've been working with me for long enough so they kind of get my voice. But even so, if somebody isn't you, like I see people sometimes, I look at their social media accounts and think that just doesn't sound anything like the, you know, I know the person, that doesn't sound anything like them. And I worry about losing my sort of authentic voice. The other challenge that I have, and I am guessing this might be true for some of our listeners as well, is that because I like social media and I enjoy it a lot and I would probably spend a lot more time on it if I had my choice. I love being on social media, messing around and learning new things. I often find that
I know more than social media managers. So for me, I want to hire somebody who can say to me, oh, have you heard about this? Or have you heard that you could do this like this? Or, you know, I want
to hire somebody that knows more than you. What's the point otherwise?
Yeah, but I often find, you know, and this may well be just a reflection on the stage I am with my business and the fact that I'm quite into social media, that I often find it quite a struggle to find somebody who knows more than me. I want somebody to go, oh, have you heard about the latest thing? Or do you know about the latest changes in Facebook groups or whatever, and how you might need to change your strategy? So that kind of leads me really into my next question, which is about, well, how do you find somebody that's right for you? Because somebody that's right for me, obviously I've been in business for a while, I'm quite experienced on social media myself, I'm quite enthusiastic about it, is possibly going to be different for somebody who's just starting out. And I know some people, they don't like social media either, do they? So how do you find the right person for you?
Well, I absolutely agree with both points that you've mentioned. And actually, both of them are points that the Digital Mums course is really hot on. So for example, tone of voice. When I first take on a client, and this is what Digital Mum teaches you to do, when I first take on a client, I don't post on their accounts for at least 2 weeks, hopefully more like 3 weeks. And in that time, I'm getting to know their voice, I'm getting to know what their competitors do, I'm getting to know what they've posted before, I'm getting to know what they're interested in and what their followers are interested in. And it takes that long to really get into the skin of the client. And at that point, you should be posting in their voice. You also do have a very, very detailed maybe Skype meeting with the client where you really get into the nitty gritty of what their tone of voice is and who their ideal target audience is.
Okay.
So for a start, you're absolutely nailing the tone of voice. That's the very first thing you do.
So what about the level of knowledge then?
Well, the level of knowledge, that's kind of difficult to find out about in advance, isn't it, if you're finding somebody new? But yes, certainly in an ideal world, any social media manager should absolutely be keeping up with all the latest trends and the latest new things that the platforms bring out. Unfortunately, it happens almost weekly. They change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But,
you know, most of the social media managers I know are doing that, I think.
I mean, one thing that I really would look for in a social media manager, and again, this is because I'm probably a bit more advanced and kind of quite really interested in social media myself, is, but I'm a content marketer, so I would be looking for somebody who's blogging about this stuff or creating their own content on YouTube, whatever. However, I do realize that a lot of social media managers are so busy doing social media management that often they don't have time for themselves. So I mean, for me, I would be ideally looking for somebody who's blogging about this stuff, and they're blogging about the latest updates, or they're creating YouTube stuff, or they're on Facebook Live or whatever. That would be what I was looking for. But I do appreciate that that can be quite tricky. So
yeah, I mean, it is very hard. I do agree with you. And that's why I'm trying to do it. But I am working ridiculous hours at the moment trying to run my own clients and build my own business. So, you know, my children are older. And if you've got young children or something, you may not have the possibility of doing that.
Yeah.
So it is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, keeping up and writing about it as well is quite difficult. But yeah, ideally you should be doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like walk the talk, isn't it? It's why I still go and get press coverage, you know, and I show that I'm out there doing it, because I think, well, if I'm teaching people how to do this, then I ought to be doing it myself. And obviously I teach people about content and social media and all that kind of stuff, and I feel like I need to be doing it myself. But you're right, it does take time. So it is social proof. So what would you look out for? So if I was to go out, you know, today and say, right, I'm going to start looking for a social media manager to work with me, what sort of things should I be looking for as a sign of somebody who's going to be good? You know, we've sort of said that, okay, it's great if they're blogging regularly, but we understand that they might not be. So what sort of things might we want to look out for?
Well, first of all, I would try and get a recommendation. That's the best way. If you know somebody that's got a good social media manager or has heard about a good social media manager, then hopefully that they'll share that with you, unless they're trying to keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to Digital Mums. There are 500 of us graduated and a further 400 that are in training at the moment. So there's quite a lot of choice there. And Digital Mums will put you in contact with the Digital Mums Collective, which is a Facebook group where we hear about jobs and go for them if we want to. So you can always do that. Otherwise, yes, look on whichever channel is your favourite channel and see if you can see people that really stand out. Go to maybe your local Chamber of Commerce and see whether there's anybody that they recommend there, or your local networking groups. Some of them don't allow more than one person of the same in the same kind of genre.
Right, yeah, some of them only say.
So yeah. Maybe be a little bit careful with that.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, if they're blogging, then you could do a search, couldn't you?
you could do it. Or you could have a look on LinkedIn and see which of your contacts have got good contacts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I think all of us, we do like personal recommendations for this. And we touched on this before, but actually a social media manager, there's different types of things. What are kind of the kind of services that you might expect a social media manager might be able to offer you? And I know there's a lot of difference, isn't there? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So first of all, you'd start with a strategy, marketing strategy for your social media channels. Now, it's going to depend how deep you want to go, whether that's actually part of your monthly maintenance or whether you want a big strategy that you're going to pay extra for. That's up to the client. But yeah, you certainly would have some form of strategy so that you know what's going on.
So wait, are you saying you should have a sort of fully fleshed out strategy yourself? Because I know I speak to a lot of people who are like, I need to do this.
I'm saying the social media manager should be able to work.
Okay, right.
Yeah. But first of all, you need some kind of strategy, even if it's quite a bare bones skeleton one. You shouldn't be starting any kind of marketing without a strategy.
Right.
Then you make some kind of publishing calendar so that you know what you're doing throughout the year. So you might want to put any events you've got coming up or particular days that you know are going to be important in your sector. So then you'd have content creation. This would be the most time consuming part of the job, as I'm sure people know that have tried creating posts. You'll have scheduling of the content, and either that's going to be curated content, that's other people's content, and content that you've made yourself or your social media manager has made. There's engagement, building relationships with your customers, your partners, your potential customers. There's social listening, that's listening on the networks for mentions of your brand or keywords so that you can find out what's going on in your sector. There's analytics. So you would review the analytics monthly. Usually it's at the end of the month. Probably you would get a little mini report on that. And that would help you determine your next steps in your social media marketing strategy. Following up with connections and any projects that you might have ongoing. It's going to depend how big your company is. I mean, if it's part of a bigger company, then you're obviously going to need to liaise with other departments as well.
Okay. So, I mean, that sounds like as a basic, it sounds to me like a solopreneur or somebody in the early stages of their business would need all of that, you know, right up to a bigger company. And I think you were saying that some social media managers might offer added specialism. So they might offer Facebook advertising.
They might offer blogging. Facebook advertising or blog writing or strategy. If it's a big report that you're working, that would be extra. And also video or infographic creation would also be extra because that's so time consuming.
Okay. And a quick question about, you mentioned scheduling there. So if they're going to be scheduling content on your behalf, are you expected, so like I use Meet Edgar for my specialism, for my scheduling. and I've got a few other things that I use for that kind of thing, which I pay for. Would you be expected to have those services yourself or would your social media manager cover that for you?
I think that's how long is a piece of string, really. It depends. If you've already got something, then it's better if they use it. But if you haven't, they may be able to cover it. It depends really how many accounts we're talking about.
Okay. And one of the other services, and I'm looking to create a course around this, actually, but I'm increasingly getting social media managers who are coming into my Facebook group or connecting with me because their clients are also asking them to get traditional PR. So they're also saying, well, you're helping me with my social media, you're helping me, you know, run my Facebook group or with my Facebook advertising or whatever. Could you also help me get coverage in newspapers, magazines, radio and TV? And so it's something I'm looking to develop a course in, actually, which is PR for social media managers. So I guess that there's quite a lot that can be on offer and quite a lot you can get help with.
Yes, I mean, that's why I joined your group, is that I felt that I needed to offer that as well. It's working out okay for me. In fact, today I have the Kilted Yogis who are quite famous within Scotland because they made a BBC video that got something like 2 million downloads or something. And they're going in to my charity client in Edinburgh and doing a photo shoot. So, yeah, that's not part of a social media manager job.
Yeah, so it sounds like the social media management is about essentially promoting your business, isn't it? So I'm guessing that could expand and you will find some social media managers who can also offer added services.
Yes, I mean, for me, I'm just me. I'm just my business. I'm not putting myself in a little box. So I'll do whatever I need to do.
Yeah. So if you see that there's a need, you see that something else you could help with, then so you're keen to kind of help with that as well. So can we talk a little bit about money then? So how much yes. might you expect to pay for help with, you know, these kind of services?
Well, that's another how long is a piece of string question, because I've seen things like 10 tweets for £10 and things like that on social media channels. And frankly, if you go for a service like that, then you might as well have written the tweets yourself, because there's no way that anybody can make any money doing that. For digital mums, what they recommend is that you start at £300 per month per channel.
Right, okay.
And then after that, that's for a newly qualified digital mum. So after that, it's really going to depend on your expertise and experience.
Right, okay. So we could be talking from a few hundred pounds up to thousands, I guess, if you've got lots of challenges.
You've got multiple channels. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just mentally calculating how much it would cost me. Oh, my God. That would be quite...
But then think how many channels you've got and how many hours work that is.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot of work. So what are the benefits? Because, yeah, immediately as you're talking, I'm totting that all up in my head and thinking, oh, my God, that would cost me an absolute fortune. However, the idea, I guess, is to free you up to do other things. So I sometimes think to myself, because sometimes I find myself actually going onto Twitter, because I love talking to people on Twitter, and I will find myself doing something like, so we've got our Soulful PR Live event coming up in a few days, and we've been sending like countdown pictures out, you know, 3 days to go, 4 days to go, whatever. And I will find myself going onto my channel and doing that myself. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You know, you should be writing some email copy. You should be creating a sales page for the next event. You should be like, you know, and I find myself doing it because I enjoy it. But I realize that that's not the best use of my time, that actually I should probably be working on my business rather than in my business. So I'm guessing that's really the benefit, is that this frees you up to do the stuff that actually makes you money.
Well, yes. I mean, paying for social media management is no different to paying for somebody to make your website or paying for PR or for advertising. It's paying the expert to do the work so that you don't have to spend time doing it. So the main point is that you're saving the time that you would have spent on it otherwise. But also you're getting an expert to do it. And really, unless a small business owner has spent a lot of time researching what is the best way to run a social media channel and to promote on social media, they aren't going to be doing it in an expert way, because, well, how can they?
But do you think, I mean, I often say this about PR, like I would, you know, I just believe this so strongly that I don't think people should outsource PR without some experience of doing it themselves, because I feel that people, they often make mistakes because they hire people in who tell them they can do all these amazing things for them, and then they, you know, they don't deliver. And if you've got an understanding of, you know, how to get an article in a magazine or a newspaper, even just a basic understanding, then I feel you're better placed to make decisions for yourself. And I feel with social media, it kind of worries me, the idea that people might outsource that from the get-go. I feel like you almost need to roll your sleeves up and have a little go yourself when you're first starting out. But I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think most people would do that, wouldn't they? Because when you've just started out, you can't afford to employ a social media manager anyway.
Yeah, but I do hear people, you know, sometimes people, if they start a business and maybe, I don't know, they've had a redundancy package or something like that, and they'll just say, oh, I'm going to outsource from the get-go. And that always makes me feel really uncomfortable, because I feel like it's important to actually kind of know, you know, to find somebody to run your social media channels if you've never run them yourself, if you don't know what your tone of voice is and that kind of thing.
I think ideally you should, as you say, get a feel for it yourself, and also get a feel for all the different platforms, because they all feel different. You need to know. I mean, really, somebody else shouldn't be making the decision for you about which platform you go on. That should be a joint decision with your social media manager, who can advise you because they do know more about it, and with you because you know your business best. So really, you should be making that decision in a joint fashion, and it's hard to do that if you don't really know the different platforms.
Exactly. So I think some experience is probably important. So we talked a little bit about, I mean, for me, I'd be looking for somebody, I've got super high standards, I'd be looking for somebody who's blogging and creating content around this or whatever, but I realise that's not possible. What are some signs of someone good, do you think? I mean, is it about having good testimonials on their website, or good recommendations, or good referrals?
I mean, certainly testimonials help. I mean, it depends how cheap you're going. If you want to pay less, then probably you are going to be getting somebody with less experience. That doesn't mean that they're no good. It just means that they haven't got started too much yet. But I mean, yeah, you should look. Well, what you should avoid is anyone who looks too spammy.
Right.
because really social media is definitely avoid spam. Social media is a conversation. It's not a monologue. Mm. Spam has no place on social media. So avoid all spam for a start. Yeah, avoid somebody whose social media is actively not good rather than worrying too much about whether they're blogging or not. Avoid anyone who looks like they buy followers.
Right, okay. How would you tell that somebody was buying followers?
Well, if they had, I mean, particularly on Facebook, if their account was quite new and they had loads of followers,
right.
It's almost impossible to get loads of organic followers quickly now on Facebook. So they probably would have bought them. If you look at their followers on Twitter, you're able to see their followers and you look at them, you can tell really when you look at them if they're bots or not, because there'll be nothing in their profiles.
Right. Okay. I mean, personally, I would be, if I was looking to hire a social media manager, even if they didn't have a super duper blog, which is obviously what I'd be looking for, and they were like a major content marketer, I'd want to go and have a look at their Twitter account and their Facebook and see what kind of content they were posting. So
if they engage,
yeah,
engagement is the most important thing on social media. So if they're not engaging, then yes, I would avoid them. If they can't talk about all the things that we've talked about, you know, different platforms, if they can't advise you, if they don't talk about metrics and return on investment, if they aren't able to tell you strategies to generate leads, not that they might not want to give away all their secrets when you're first talking to them, but eventually, if they can't tell you that, if they don't change posts for different channels, because one size does not fit all on social media. So if they're posting exactly the same thing on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, that's a red flag.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd be looking, even if it's not their own content, that like on Twitter, if you went on their Twitter feed, you'd see that they were sharing like useful articles about new trends in social media or metrics or whatever and talking to people about it, not just kind of broadcasting.
Yeah. And if you came to me and you said, oh, I've got an estate agency and I'm interested in it, then I would expect to be able to tell you what might be the best platforms for you just from that.
And what might you expect from an initial consultation? I mean, I know certainly with my business, I sometimes get people who they might want to sign up for my one-to-one service, which is quite pricey. And in a 15-minute call, sometimes people will try and book a 15-minute call because they think, you know, that I'm going to give them the answer to all their PR problems, you know, or I'm somehow going to share some golden nugget, which is going to kind of explode their business in 15 minutes, which you can't. I mean, I'm never too worried about kind of sharing the strategies that I think would work for them. But would you expect to be able to get on a Skype call with somebody or meet them for a coffee if they're local, just to talk through some of the things that they might be able to help you with and how they would see things going forward? Yeah,
I would. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I'd happily meet anybody or have a Skype call with anybody, you know, for half an hour. That's fine, and chat. I am careful about strategy and giving away things like that, because I have been burned and I know quite a few people who have been, especially by agencies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who ask you in a kind of a initial, well, no, not initial, have an interview with you and then say, oh, look, we'd like you to do this exercise for us so we can see how good you are at social media. And they give you this list of clients and they ask you, you know, what would you do to build that up and build that up? And I've spent ages on it and I've given them all these great ideas and then that's it. Never heard from them again and they start using the ideas. So, you know, you do have to be a little bit careful that you're not actually doing people's job for them without getting paid for it.
And they're not taking those off and using them to pitch for, taking your ideas and using it to pitch for work, that kind of thing. Okay. So we've talked about what kind of things you could expect to get help with. We've talked about how much you might expect to pay. We've talked about signs of a good social media manager. We've talked about what might be red flags of potential people that you might not want to work with. And actually, just to add to that, I think I would want to just if somebody was, you know, seriously wanting to work with me, I'd want to say, well, could you just give me a few names of some people you're working with at the moment so I could check their accounts out? That feels like quite a reasonable question to ask.
Yeah, that's very reasonable.
Yeah. Are there any other questions that you think are really good questions to ask if you're trying to suss out, you know, a potential hire?
I think you could ask them kind of a mini strategy, you know, going forward, what would you recommend? You can't ask any more than that, really, you know, at a first meeting. That's not fair. But you certainly could ask for kind of a vague strategy for them. And you could ask ideas on how to get leads and things like that. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I would expect after a half an hour, I would expect somebody to have a fairly good understanding of your brand if you've told them enough and how social media can help you. So you can certainly ask how social media can help you with specific reference to your brand, your sector.
And so I guess you could ask them to give you two or three things that they might suggest initially that you could be getting on with that could, you know, help your engagement straight away or whatever it is you're trying to do. Yeah. And I guess it helps to start with a clear objective. We probably should have started this ourselves, actually. A clear objective of what it is that you're trying to do, because I guess with anything you do in your business, you know, if you sort of start off by saying, oh, I want to do social media, but you don't really know why, then I guess it's important for you to be clear about your objectives and, you know, are you looking to get more sales or leads, whatever?
I think it's important the business owner understands the difference between a marketing strategy and a marketing campaign as well.
Oh, okay.
Often people seem to expect that a campaign is kind of part of everyday maintenance, and it's not. It's extra. It's a huge amount of extra work. So I think you also have to be clear on that. If you're going to be wanting actual campaigns thought up and delivered, that's extra. That's not a monthly maintenance.
Okay, so to put that into context, so if I was looking for a social media manager to help me with my ongoing, so to maintain my Twitter or my Facebook and sort of daily, weekly posting or whatever, that's very different to, for example, if I'm launching a new event and I'm looking for help with all my media diary or something like that. I'm looking for help with a specific campaign.
If you're launching something new that you're going to need loads of extra stuff, then that's a campaign.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. You've shared so much value with us. It's been really, really helpful just to kind of like, I don't know, it's one of those things I think people almost, some of it seems so obvious that you almost don't want to ask you, but I think it's good to have a conversation about these things, isn't it?
Well, it's really interesting as well. If I ask on Soulful PR, if I ask people what they would like to know, because I can't think of a blog title for that week, it always surprises me the things that they come up with. And I always find that what I was going to write about was perhaps a lot more advanced than what I should be writing about.
Yes, yeah. I think often we assume knowledge on people's part. And I swear, I'm sure there's people holding back on even making inquiries about getting a social media manager because they're making assumptions about how much it costs or what's involved and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
Well, my website is www.sociallycontented.com. I'm on Twitter. Actually, at the moment, I have a digital mum trainee who has taken over my Socially Contented Twitter account from today for a few weeks. But I'm on Twitter at Social Contented and I'm on Facebook at Socially Contented.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much. You've shared a lot of value.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? I've recently opened a Facebook group that's exclusively for podcast listeners, and you can find it at the Soulful PR Podcast Community. That's the Soulful PR Podcast Community, and I'd love to see you over there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.